I was interested to get into this lessons from the law, the first use of the word thanksgiving found in the passage that we read in Leviticus 7. Let me go over four verses, verses 12 and 13, verses 15 and 16. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers mingled with oil, cakes mingled with oil, of fine flour, fried. Besides the cakes, he shall... That's not like donuts to me. I'm not sure. Fine flour, fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer his offering leavened bread. That's with leavening, with yeast, yeast bread, with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it till morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. We're actually introduced here to three categories of sacrifices of offerings. So let's look at some definitions. The offerings for thanksgiving, peace offerings, and voluntary offerings are mentioned. In his commentary, Bible scholar Adam Clark has a handy list of definitions at the end of Leviticus 7. And I've kept his numbering. He had a number of whole lot of them here. But number 13 was Nedibah, the free will or voluntary offering. And this came from Nadab, to be free, liberal, princely, generous. An offering not commanded, but given as a particular proof of extraordinary gratitude to God for special mercies, or on account of some vow or engagement voluntarily taken. So this is the category of what we're talking about. Now, of the free will, meaning not commanded, but you're allowed to do it if you want. There were two others. Number 18 in Adam Clark's listing, Shalamim, peace offering from Shalom, to complete, make whole. For by these offerings, that which was lacking was considered as being now made up. This is where you felt you messed up. God's willing to forgive. You would like to show kind of a thanks for that, but this to show you that I'm doing it willingly, my repentance is complete. Now made up, that which was broken, the covenant of God, by his creature's transgression, was supposed to be made whole, so that after such an offering, the sincere and conscientious mind had a right to consider that the breach, the break, was made up between God and it. Your own conscience. And it might lay confident hold on this covenant of peace, the gaining of peace. And then the third one is Todah. And I show you the Strong's numbering there, 8426, the one we're going to be looking at. Thank offering comes from Yada, to confess primarily. And these are offerings made to God with public confession, to confess your praise of his power, goodness, mercy, and so on. So, therefore, we have the larger category of voluntary offerings, things that were not commanded, but you could do of your own choice. So, under that category, a Hebrew could offer a peace offering to finish his internal work of repentance in an outward way, an outward display, or a thanksgiving offering to publicly give thanks to God. Now, what struck me was that we have a Thanksgiving meal. That's sort of part and parcel of our Thanksgiving celebration. We have some lessons here from the law that I think would make our Thanksgiving meal far more important, because, you know, I was telling people that I saw a sign that the theme for Thanksgiving was gobble till you wobble. You know, and now you realize that's what this is all about, eat, drink, and be merry. Not that that's entirely wrong, but that's not the goal, or doesn't have to be the limit of the goal for us. So let's look at the scripture. The purpose of the Thanksgiving feast, for it was to be eaten, and to see what insights he can give us. Well, first of all, the purpose was not just to cook a good meal, but to show thanks for God's mercy in delivering from distress. Mercy delivers from distress. So this was a thanks for God's mercy. Now, I thought it was interesting in my heart to listen to the various commentators, and when they listed the things, suggestions of why people would give these Thanksgiving offering. And I wanted to use this just to toss out these thoughts for you to be thankful about some things perhaps you haven't given much thought to. So number one, recovery from sickness. Some of us have recovered from sickness, some of us not quite recovered, recovered from sickness and feel better. This is a mercy delivering from distress. Number two, preservation in a journey. We were praying for the cops and their prospective journey. But we can all be thankful for preservation in a journey. Number three, especially deliverance at sea. Those who are traveling on the sea always face the prospect of some problem. Number four, redemption out of captivity. And so most of us haven't really been slaves, but we have been captured by some things that God has allowed us to be redeemed out of. And then number five, the common mercies of life. And number six, any instance of divine goodness. I thought, how large a category is that? The common mercies of life. I've been impressed recently, walked into the house after we were, cooking the turkey, whatever it was. And, oh man, the house smelled so good. You know, I've been impressed by the idea of what a gift of God it is for us to have wonderful smells, you know. In our downstairs bathroom, we have two things to freshen the scent of the air. One is a candle, and one is a spray freshener. And I thought it was kind of interesting that the titles of these things were at the opposite spectrum of things. The one, so completely creative that it has nothing to do with smell, but this candle is called Turquoise Sky. I've never smelled a turquoise sky. I'm not sure what that would smell like. But it really sounded good, and had a great, great picture on the front. So, you know, people don't buy it for the name, actually. They smell the thing and say, that's okay. So my wife had bought that Turquoise Sky. I thought, how creative. And then the spray, the title of its scent was called Fresh. Really? That's it? Just Fresh? I had to ask, Fresh what? I'm hoping that this is, you know, not fresh manure or something like that, but just something, fresh air would be better. So you think of the smells that truly warm your heart. They tell me that you have a special memory for certain smells that as soon as that smell comes back, that memory is triggered. There are perhaps only a few special memory smells from your entire life. One of the great visions I remember as a little child, I know it's a little child because I'm standing there looking up at my grandmother leaning over in her farmhouse dress and the full apron on tied around and pulling the turkey or the food or the chicken or whatever out of the oven, you know, and that burst of smell and that glow about the room from the oven and then seeing that wonderful food having been cooked. Can we really grasp the common mercies of life? They are so common that we forget to thank God for it. The breath of fresh air, the ability to stand up and stretch and feel like getting going with your day, you know. All of this just the grace of God. So let us approach our Thanksgiving meal. This perhaps the first, how many, for how many of you will this be the first Thanksgiving meal? Anybody have one earlier? Okay, we'll probably have one or two later, but for this one, to approach it with a heart that is just brimming with thankfulness to God for delivery out of distress and every common mercy of life and any instance of divine goodness. And we haven't even talked about his spiritual blessings. Then, to perform the vow made when in distress. There are thoughts that come and say, God, if you get me out of this, I'll do this. You see. And so the vow sacrifice was thanksgiving according to the vow that you made. This in a special way I say thanks to God. And then the third one is to emphasize a prayer for special mercy. That's an interesting thought, because this is the sacrifice made with the idea, God, I'm asking for your mercy, and I'm saying thank you ahead of time. When you recognize that you're facing some difficulties, the food that you prepare for the Thanksgiving feast is being offered as a sacrifice to God to be shared with people. So the purpose of the Thanksgiving feast, lessons from the law. Now the third, I thought, was particularly interesting because the eating of the Thanksgiving feast had some rules and regulations. And I thought this would be a special help. Verse 15, the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offering for Thanksgiving shall be eaten. So many of the sacrifices were taken, killed, burnt on the altar, and burned up, all of the sin sacrifices. They were just burned up. This was only to God. Some of them, part of the animal was taken off and given to the priest. So we'll see that here. But this Thanksgiving offering was a Thanksgiving meal. But it was a Thanksgiving meal that was intended to be an offering to God. Isn't that a great concept? That we are here with this Thanksgiving meal to present an offering to God, an offering of praise, and to be shared by others, because we would like others to praise Him for why we were praising Him, to share that praise, you see. To say, He is a good God. So, here's the key to this. Prepare the meat with various kinds of bread. This isn't to be burned up, this is to be eaten. So he says, if he offered for Thanksgiving, then he shall offer it with a sacrifice of Thanksgiving, unleavened cakes, unleavened would be that kind of like cracker type, mingled with oil, unleavened wafers, anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil, fine flour, fried. Besides the cakes, shall offer for his offering leavened bread with a sacrifice. Now this was only done if people were going to eat it, because leavening was never to be used when it was burned up before God. Leviticus 2:11, no meat offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven, nor honey, or in any offering on the Lord of the Lord made by fire. So absolutely restricted from burning up leavened things to God. But it was okay for the meal. You see, it sounds to me like God says, well, if you're going to have people come and share this meal, it should really taste good. So have lots of different foods with it and bread. So he instructed that the Thanksgiving meal should be one that really tastes good. I think we've got that one down, don't you? The joy of eating, in other words, the pleasure of the eating, was to match the joy that was expressed in receiving God's mercy. He was so good to us, and that gave me such joy. I would like for you to sense that joy as well with this good flavor of the food. Then I wanted to make sure to put this in there. Share the meat with the preacher. I thought that was a good idea. Leviticus 7:14. And of it he shall offer out one of the whole oblation. Oblation is the word that comes from the word to carry. I think it really refers to whatever you bring to the temple for sacrifice. That's the oblation. Offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord, and it shall be the priests that sprinkleth the blood for the peace of the offering. In case you forgot who the priest was, he's the guy that's doing the sprinkling of the blood. Now, in Old Testament times, this was the payment made to the one who counseled the word of God to the people. It speaks of the heave offering. It also speaks of a wave offering. Neither of these were burned up before God. The heave offering, the word indicates it was lifted up as a picture of offering it to God. Offering it to God, but then used on earth. Then there was the wave offering, which didn't involve people standing up and sitting down across the congregation, but was actually just taking it from the right hand to the left. Heave goes up and the wave goes across. So, and that also was an indication that it was being transferred from one hand to the other, being used on earth, not burnt up in the fire. But so the heave offering offered to God and then given to God's man. But this one caught my attention, that the food is to be eaten and not preserved. I think people have always been interested in saving money, being careful with the potential problem of being miserly. God says, I'd like for you to be generous. So notice here. See if you can figure this out with me. Verses 15 to 17. The flesh of the sacrifice peace offering for the thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that is offered. Shall not leave any of it until the morning. Now he says, so also with the voluntary offering. But he specifies that on the morrow also the remainder shall be eaten. So that today and tomorrow you eat it all. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. So I'm thinking, why would he say this? Why is God concerned how long it takes you to eat it? You know, wouldn't good conservative financial value say, let's dry this meat, let's salt this meat, let's make lamb jerky out of it, something, you know, and let's do this and save it because, you know, we don't have to spend the money. No, God says, no, I want it all eaten. Two things came to my mind. One is, God protected his people from eating tainted meat. He doesn't want it around where it becomes bad. Okay? Because people didn't know this stuff, you know. They did it practically. They understood that it was a problem when they ate tainted meat. But he says, don't do that. But here's the other thing. God encouraged generosity. You fix the whole meal, you know, looking at it, this needs to be eaten. So me, my wife, my two kids, we can't eat all of this. So what do we have to do? You see, we invite somebody else in. We give this to the neighbors. We do something. We invite a party. We get a group together and we eat it all up. The meal was prepared with the idea of showing God's bountiful mercy. That was the whole idea of the Thanksgiving. So God wanted it to be eaten in the celebration. Eat the whole thing. That's the celebration. God is good. Here's an example of his goodness. So instead of throwing it away, conservative people would say, let's invite people in and eat it all up. I hate to throw it away. I was taught to clean up my plate. I find that really hard today to get a restaurant and I don't eat everything, you know. I was with a friend of mine. We went to Golden Corral. And I take what I want and I eat it all. And he takes what he wants and he eats about half of it and sets the plates aside and he'll get another plate and so on. Okay. It's not up to me. It's not, you know, they make plans for that type of thing. It just, what do they say, rubs me the wrong way, you know. At any rate, he says, eat it all. So bring people in and share not just how good a cook you are. You see? Share not just this special recipe. We were talking about different ways people cook turkey. And one we heard a couple of times was turn the turkey upside down so that the breast is down, and then the juices go down to that and so on. My wife says, doesn't work. Why not? Because that's where the pop-up button is in the chest. So have to have the pop-up button where we can see it. Well, she uses the cooking bag, and we love that. It kind of is a self-basting thing and stops that whole big basting squirt thing stuff. And that's what we do. You can see today if you like that idea. But it's not wrong. We often hear that the unsaved person, all they care about is eat, drink, and be merry. Let me show you. Ecclesiastes 8:5, the wisest man on earth counseled this. Then I commended mirth, happiness, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. You know, he pegged it. He said that's one of the best things that can happen is to enjoy your life, especially in the eating and the drinking and the fellowshipping with friends. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. He says, it's okay for you to be like, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge and make a lot of money and eat your bowl of gruel. Man, wouldn't you hate to eat something that was called gruel? I don't know what that is, but it sounds awful. And eat it by the fire or by yourself in this empty room, you know. No, you make the money, but then, and support your family, but then you celebrate. You celebrate that life. So what we find here is that all of this is under the umbrella of the voluntary, the free will offering. You didn't have to do this. God did not command this loving approach to the Thanksgiving offering. But he only suggested it, you see. This is the way the law always worked. He gave you certain things to do and certain options, but he always wanted your heart to be in it. He wanted you to do this, those actions, yes, but to do it from the heart. We were just mentioning about the offering. And, you know, are we to think of the offering as paying our dues to God and well, I don't like it, but I got to do it or else I won't get saved, you know? No, it's not that at all. In fact, the Apostle Paul, collecting for a very good cause, the poor people that were starving, he was gathering the money together, but he told the churches, he says, now, I don't want you to feel under obligation to give. If you give under obligation, then it's, well, I don't want to, but okay, I'll do it. See? Not under compulsion. Not under public, what's the word? Public pressure, you know, peer pressure, you know. Oh, they're giving that? Oh, okay, I got to do this. He says, but cheerfully, lovingly, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It's not the gift, but the giving. It's not the gift, but the giver that God loves. And so, you know, the Lord's Supper and other things, it's not actions that somehow please God. It's the heart performing the actions. It's the same way the greatest benefit of our Christian observations are lost if we don't enhance them with loving service. 1 Corinthians 10:31, talking about eating, talking about the Thanksgiving meal here. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, being merry, do all to the glory of God. So a man could seem generous in bringing a Thanksgiving offering, yet prove himself selfish in the middle of it. And this then negated the offering. If he held back some and kept it for himself for later, he might as well just never have done it. In fact, he's worse off than he was when he didn't do it. This is what he says, Leviticus 7:18. If any of the flesh of the sacrifice of a peace offering be eaten at all on the third day, hiding it back, keeping it, it shall not be accepted. Accepted as what? As a sacrifice to God. Wasn't accepted. Neither shall it be imputed unto him. It had been imputed to him as a good thing. He did a good thing. Oh, no, he kept the meat. It's all selfishness. So it won't be imputed to him. There was no righteousness there because it wasn't done by faith. It shall be an abomination. In fact, it's not these pluses, but it's actually a negative. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. The wise man speaks in Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The sacrifice. Here's the sacrifice to God. How is it considered an abomination? Because it was offered by a wicked heart. By comparison, the prayer, simple prayer, no expense made, a simple prayer of the upright is his delight. He delighted in that. And then let me add one last thing. A lesson from the law here, that both the food and the eaters must be pure. Number one, the food must be considered a holy offering to God. Leviticus 7:19, the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. So the food is being presented to God first. So if it touches an unclean thing, becomes defiled, ceremonially defiled, it shall not be eaten, but tossed into the fire, burnt with fire. As for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. So now he says not only the flesh, but the people that eat it must be pure, must be clean. So the food must be considered a holy offering to God that we would keep untainted. But secondly, the offering must not be eaten by those who are unclean. When we make our Thanksgiving meal an offering to God, we take on an additional responsibility. And just like in the Lord's Supper, when we mention that we don't want to be unclean in handling these things that represent God, so it would be true of our Thanksgiving meal. That the prayer for the food probably should include then a prayer of forgiveness for our sins. Listen to Leviticus 7:20 and 21. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, this pertains unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people, alienated from the people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man or any unclean beast or any abominable unclean thing, and eat the flesh. If you're unclean and then you eat the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. See, it comes down to this, that holy things are only for holy persons. Christ said, don't cast your pearls before swine. So the food was being offered to God. Therefore, it was to be a holy offering. And the ones participating in the offering should be clean. That's what we find out in the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:28. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation. The King James margin explains damnation as judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So, what are the temptations at the Thanksgiving meal? Overindulgence. It teaches us to keep ourselves pure from the pollutions of sin. While celebrating, let us avoid selfishness and gluttony. Three verses remind us of this. Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly as in the day. This being honest in your walk is talking about being decent. Not in rioting and drunkenness. Shall we turn the Thanksgiving dinner into a riotous and drunken thing? Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envy. Galatians 5:21, listing of the works of the flesh. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. He says these are sins. Don't turn this offering to God into a sinful gathering. 1 Peter 4:3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. He says that we did enough in the past. We don't have to go back to it now. And he lists, when we walked in lasciviousness. This is the just let it all hang out attitude. Do whatever you want. Anything you want. Lusts. Strong desires. Excess of wine. Revelings. Banquetings. And abominable idolatries. Interesting that this whole list, except for the last one, is all talking about the food, and sometimes the idolatries were involved with food. Our consciences as Christians are to be purged from such dead works. Peter says, we had enough of that when we were unsaved. We don't need that now. Our consciences are to be purged from such dead works to serve the living God. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot or fault to God, purge your conscience from dead works, legalities that don't really count, to serve the living God. You do that with the heart. You do that with the mind. You do that with the willingness. You do that with the servant's spirit. And so I would encourage us, even as we make the transition downstairs to eat the meal, for many of us, the first of our Thanksgiving meals, to think of this as an offering. And by the way, I got to thinking about this. Well, some of us didn't bring food. Well, that was the way this was, because you invited people in. You provided the food. You invited other people in. So everything was covered in this. But they all approached it with this idea. This is a sacrifice to God first, saying, thank you for the hundreds and thousands of things you have done for us that you didn't have to, and we didn't earn it. So think of it as an offering to God, that we join together and say thanks to God for how you have blessed us. And then to recognize that since this is an offering to God, let us be pure in our very hearts. As we would wash our hands before we eat, let us cleanse our soul before we participate in this offering of God. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, you have given us some ideas concerning the Thanksgiving meal that came from you, encouraging people to take their time to say, I owe so much to God that I will put together this feast, offering it to God, publicly thanking him for all these things, and then share it with others so that it will all be eaten in a proper time. We ask, Father, that you might guide us in our thinking. We know this isn't a command to us. This is the law given to Israel and not commands given to the church. But, oh, Father, we find in there lessons that we should adopt, ideas of how to treat you and others that are wise in every age. And so we ask that you might help us to take these lessons from the law and apply them to us today. We would enhance our Thanksgiving worship experience. our Thanksgiving generosity experience and our Thanksgiving sharing of good food in good times to thoroughly enjoy what you've allowed us to put together. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder if you would say, Pastor, I do recognize that I tend to come to Thanksgiving with just the traditions of my family, traditions of America. And I hadn't really thought of putting it together as an offering to God, saying thank you for all that you do. And now I want to make sure my heart is right and that I am expressing my joy in God in the celebration. If that's your prayer, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up. Say, pray for me. Amen. 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 Father, then, as believers, we ask that you might help us to truly, from the heart, make this a celebration unto thee. And then for those that are here that have never received Christ as personal Savior, help them to recognize that they are in violation whenever they take advantage of every good thing you have given, and yet they have rejected you in their life. I pray, Father, that you might help us to realize that it's not the rituals that make us acceptable. It's the heart. For even the sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination to you. You see that it is an offense because they're trying to do for themselves what only you can do. And so save them, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Bring them to Christ. And we pray thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.